Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Stokely and Zach, tuning in for Zach.
Stoke, I'm so glad to be working with you. Finally, I get a chance to work with you. Not only two-time Super Bowl champion, but you are also the above and beyond winner. I love it. I'm crazy about it, Ben. I love it.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, Tony. You know, that made my day yesterday, and I'm still glowing from the Above and Beyond Award that I got yesterday. I don't know who nominated me, but it was long overdue. I finally got it. Now I can, you know, when my time comes, I can rest in peace.
Yeah, you get to put it on the mantle. What do they give you? Like, what do you get with an Above and Beyond Award?
Just a certificate. That's nice. That says Above and Beyond on it, and it has my name. And I don't know if I get anything else or not, but I'm content and happy with getting that. Somebody recognized me for all my hard work and dedication to this company, and I certainly appreciate it.
Well, that's what I'm most excited about is the fact that I've got it above and beyond with working with me so much. I mean, the insight that you've bring
made it.
The other stuff, but the above and beyond aspect.
Tony,
I was
you have made it now, man.
That's right.
How about that?
I am putting that on my resume that we at least did this for right now. All right. So the Broncos, Brandon Marshall is going to test free agency. They're not going to exercise the $1 million option this final season. They're going to let him test the market. All right, so you've made $7 million last year. Stoke, good move for Denver to let him test this market.
Well, I think you had to, considering his injury history over the last couple years. And obviously, he was dealing with some things last year. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to have Brandon Marshall in the studio. And it seemed like he knew that that was a real possibility. And he was, I don't want to speak for him, but, you know, I think that he realized that that was what might happen. And on top of that, at least he had it early in his contract to where he got to know now. And so when free agency starts, he'll be able to see what his market is. If he didn't have that $1 million option that the Broncos would have to make a decision on here really soon, then they could do him like they did TJ Ward. And you don't want to have to get into training camp and then all of a sudden they decide to move on from you then. So they are moving on from him now, and it's the best for Brandon Marshall. He'll be able to test the market, and we'll see what it looks like for him. And you never know. You never know in these situations where he'll end up, and he could be back with the Broncos on a lot less with a lot less number on his salary cap hit. And so we'll see how it works out for Brandon Marshall. But obviously, it's a bummer for him because of the injuries that have impacted his career. I think if he wasn't injured the last couple of years, I think he gets this option picked up and is one of the centerpieces of this defense. But that's football, and so we'll see how it plays out for him and what the Broncos' next move is for them. Will they look into free agency here and try to make a splash with the C.J. Mosley, or will it be Todd Davis and Josie Jewell and draft a guy? So a lot still up in the air with the Broncos. I'm sure they will add some veteran depth, but at what level? Is it a top-tier guy, or is it a second- or third-tier guy?
What is the chances of him being able to stay? Reworking a deal. I think that when you test free agency, it's kind of a hit or miss situation, but the injuries could play into it. But what is it likely that he could be coming back?
Well, I think it just depends on what the market looks like for him. I don't think the Broncos want to pay him a lot. Maybe they want to pay him, you know, maybe it's a one-year contract at the minimum with some incentives in there, per game bonuses. So, you know, every time you're dressing out, you get a bonus in there. So if you're healthy, you can make up a lot of money. If you're not healthy, you won't. So I think that he'll see what that market is out there for him. And him and his agent could come back to the Broncos and say, look, this is what we're being offered. Does this interest you here in Denver or not? I think it's hard to judge a veteran when they've come off a couple injuries, what that market will look like for him. And I think once that market shows itself and they kind of have a feel for what that number might be, now we'll see if it works out for the Broncos or not. But I don't think the Broncos are willing to invest a lot in him right now because of the last couple years. But obviously, I think he's a guy that if you could get for a one-year cheap contract that you're not going to put a lot of money in and put some incentives in there, that's a guy that you would want back for sure.
And it's interesting because with Vic Fangio, he's the head coach, right? But it's hard to not look at him and see the defensive orientation of his career and his defensive mindset. So in that being said, this is kind of a test of what he's going to have to do, not only for that position, but what they would do if they wanted to restructure something to bring Brandon Marshall back.
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, when you look at Vic Fangio and what he's done in this league and being a defensive side of the football head coach, obviously he has a good feel for what he wants in his defense. And I'm sure he's been watching film and watching a lot of film on Todd Davis and Josie Jewell. And besides those two guys, you don't have a lot of depth there. So, you know, if it's not Brandon Marshall in you know, the likelihood of him returning to me is usually when you see this type of move, a team is just ready to move on. But right. you really just never know. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he came back. But at the same time, they're probably moving on, and he's probably going to be moving on. So, what are you looking for if you're the Broncos? What is out there and available? You're going to have to get a veteran presence in here. And it doesn't have to be a starter. It could be a backup type of role. But obviously, you're going to have to find somebody out in free agency to provide some depth there and a veteran presence there. And you'll probably see them draft an inside linebacker also.
Now, in terms of the what's available to fill that position, what are we seeing early in the sort of the free agent talks about who could possibly the Broncos could talk to about filling that spot?
Well, I mean, the one that pops out to me is the best of the bunch, and that's C.J. Mosley, the inside linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens and from out of Alabama. I just don't know if he'll be available. We'll see if he's going to be actually a true free agent or if Baltimore will end up tagging him with the franchise tag. So, obviously, that's the main one that comes to mind is him. He's the best of the bunch, and he's a young linebacker. And, look, he can flat out do it all. And so if you could get a guy like that and plug him in the middle, and now you got the makings of something right there in the middle that the Broncos have been lacking here the last couple of years. When you look at their run defense and the deficiencies there and the Achilles heel there stopping the run in certain games that have really hurt them, it's inside linebackers. You know, you got to be a physical presence in there, but you also got to be athletic enough to cover running backs and tight ends down the football field, which is a hard thing to do. But C.J. Mosley is definitely the best of the bunch right now. But we'll see if he's available or not, because Baltimore could still put the franchise tag on him. And then now you're looking elsewhere. And they might, you know what, I don't know what their mindset is. And I think that's what it comes down to. Are they going for a top tier, you know, linebacker here to replace a Brandon Marshall, or are you going to be looking at, you know what, we feel really good about Todd Davis and Josie Jewell being the starters. Let's go look for a second or third tier inside linebacker, and let's use these resources. You only have so much. Let's use these resources now to go find ourselves a playmaking safety like a Landon Collins or a Tyrone Mathieu. Let's go get ourselves a defensive tackle to plug up the middle of Ndamukong Suh. Or let's go give ourselves a premier guard or tackle in free agency. So, it's going to be interesting to see where their mindset is when it comes to the inside linebacker position and what's available, but also what they have left on their team and how they feel about and how they project Josie Jewell heading into his second year and Todd Davis in a Vic Fangio defense.
Look at us talking defense, right? On a time where everybody was focusing on what was going on offensively for the Broncos. We got defense conversations now with this team.
Defense can still win, man.
That's right.
I mean, we saw it in the Super Bowl. So, you know, if you got a good defense in a running game, you can still win in the NFL.
Stoked with the Broncos moving on from Marshall. Who else can we see in Denver? We will tackle that next. Zach and Stoke, Tony D in for Zach. All right, we're talking about Brandon Marshall moving on. And now, so this is some other players, Stoke. There's a lot of list of where the Broncos could kind of leave off with and move on from. And there's some of these guys that the Broncos might want to bring back. Obviously,
sure.
There's Case Keenum, there's Derek Wolfe, there's Emmanuel Sanders, Bradley Roby. These are the couple of names that the Broncos could leave with or also bring back. Some of these names stick out to you as guys the Broncos should move on from.
Well, Case Keenum's got to go. I mean, I don't even think that's a discussion. You know, it's not even a possibility in my mind that he's back with the Denver Broncos. And I don't think they're going to be able to trade him. Who's going to give away anything for that contract? I mean, if you want somebody to take that contract, you might have to pull a Houston Texans and give them a draft pick. And I don't think the Broncos want to do it. So I think what the Broncos are going to have to do with Case Keenum is just end up cutting him. And so I believe that will be the situation with Case Keenum. You look at another guy, Jeff Heuermann, who actually impressed me last year with what he was able to do. I really thought it was going to be Jake Butt's room, and he got hurt, and then Heuermann took over, and my bar was low for Jeff Heuermann, and he had a couple games in there where you're like, wow, that was really, really impressive. But you look at his injury history, trying to his ability to stay healthy and on the football field, he just hasn't done it enough for me. So I think he's a guy that you'll see walk away and won't be back next year. I think the Broncos will be rolling with Troy Fumagalli, Jake Butt, and then possibly a draft pick, or you'll see them sign a veteran tight end.
What about the possibility of a contract restructure for Derek Wolf?
Well, you know, you look at Wolf's contract, and 28 years old right now. He is. I'm looking at his numbers right now. Cap hit of $10 million, almost $11 million, a base salary of $8 million. Okay, 29 years old, making that much money, and you look at and what you need to look at is if you cut him, what do you save, right? And that's what teams look at. Okay, they look at production versus, okay, keeping him versus releasing him. What will we save on the cap? And you'll save over $8 million. You'll have a $2 million dead cap hit if you cut him. And if you keep him, you're going to have a almost $11 million cap hit, just under $11 million. So, look, that's going to be a close one for me. Do the Broncos have loyalty when it comes to Derek Wolfe and realizing what the discount that he took when he took this deal and when he signed this deal a month away from being an unrestricted free agent, and he could have made a lot more money as an unrestricted free agent and if he hit the market. So he took somewhat of a hometown discount. There's no question about that. So will the Broncos remember that, you know, 4 years later? And or will they try to squeeze him, get him to take a lesser number, or will they just release him? But that's a huge, huge difference between keeping him on the roster and almost at $11 million and releasing him, and it's a dead cap hit of 2.3. So, look, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Broncos ended up moving away from Derek Wolfe because of the numbers. The numbers tell you that you're saving over $8 million. That's a lot of money. Yeah, a lot of money that you could use elsewhere. So we'll see. That's going to be an interesting one to me. You know, will the Broncos value and remember Derek Wolfe taking that hometown discount, or will they say it's a business and move on from Derek Wolfe? But that's one of the more interesting ones to follow this offseason.
Stoke, getting into the idea of it a business, and from a player perspective, also from guys like us who kind of look on the outside in, you get the scale, right? You weigh it versus value versus production, and teams kind of view that and say, okay, look, I know what I can get from this guy, and this is the current cost to me. Do you find that, especially as a player, do you find that consistent, or have some teams weighed that scale so differently from other teams? And if so, where would the Broncos be? Because we don't know. It's 6 weeks into this coaching staff how they view any of these guys.
Well, you're exactly right. I think it comes down to that. But more importantly, I think it's John Elway's call, really. I certainly think that Vic Fangio will have a say. You know, he will have watched Derek Wolfe and every snap that he has taken this past year and the past couple of years, and he'll give his input. But ultimately, it's going to be John Elway's decision here when it comes to Derek Wolfe. And every organization is different. You know, every team is different in how they operate and how they, you know, are you going to take care of your guys? Or the minute that you get a chance to move on from them and save a few bucks, are you going to do that? So, you know, every organization is different. We'll see how the Broncos operate here with Derek Wolfe. But certainly, you know, he took a discount when he signed the deal. And now the leverage is more in the Broncos' court. And it's a lot of money that they could save and they could use elsewhere to sign, you know, a C.J. Mosley or sign a Landon Collins or sign a Tyrone Matthews. So there's a lot of money here that they could save. So it's going to be really, really interesting. But every organization, you know, that I've played at operates differently. And some are cutthroat and some are more are not so much cutthroat. So we'll see what the Broncos and how they operate with Derek Wolfe. But it's going to be, to me, it's one of the things that I'm following this whole offseason. It's at the top of the list.
Zach and Stoke, I'm Tony D filling in for Zach. Give me an idea. What do you think about Emmanuel Sanders? What do you think about Bradley Roby, guys that they could possibly keep?
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders, same thing. You know, you look at his cap hit of $12 million, his cap hit almost $13 million, $12.9. And if you release him, you're going to save $10 million. I mean, that's a huge, huge number. So if you look at Derek Wolfe and Emmanuel Sanders, if you walked away from both those guys, you had saved $18 million on the cap. I mean, that is huge number in the NFL. So he's coming off of an Achilles injury. You're gonna his base salary this year is a little over $10 million. That's gonna be another tough one. I don't know if they try to get his contract and rework his contract, or if they just keep it at that number, or if they just release him. That's another one. Derek Wolf, Emmanuel Sanders, because of the savings that the Broncos could see by releasing these guys, and because of Emmanuel Sanders' Achilles injury, if he didn't injure his Achilles, they're thrilled with this contract. They're fine with this last year of his deal, but being 32 years old, coming off of Achilles, how do they value him? And also, on top of that, you drafted two young guys last year, and you're probably wanting to see those guys play. So, you know, do you hold on to Emmanuel Sanders for one more year, or do you look at that number and say, wow, that's $10 million we can save on the cap by moving on from Emmanuel Sanders? Now, look, if he's healthy, it's a no-brainer, but the Achilles injury, you know, muddies the water here with Emmanuel Sanders. So it's another one with Derek Wolf that is going to be interesting, you know, to see how they view Emmanuel Sanders and his age and the injury.
We put together a pretty good list here of guys that the Broncos are going to make a decision on. Any of them that stick out to say, hey, listen, obviously value plays a factor here, but I'd like to see them make a attempt to keep this guy or that guy.
Well, you look at a guy like Bradley Roby. I just think the market's going to be too much for him, for the Broncos to keep. I think they're going to be going younger. And I think a lot will be told by what goes on in free agency and where they're going to head in the draft. You know, is it going to be an inside linebacker? Is it going to be a cornerback there at 10? So I think, you know, you look at Roby, you look at Brandon Marshall, who they're going to be releasing, how will they operate in free agency? And then that will tell you a little bit about, you know, what's going to be happening in the draft. So Bradley Roby's certainly a guy that I wouldn't mind seeing return here, but I think the price is going to be too high. A guy like Darian Stewart, I think, is going to be gone. Matt Paradis, you know, you need offensive line help, right? It hasn't been good enough. He's been your best, most consistent guy. Looks like he's going to be testing free agency. Will they be able to keep him or not? I mean, it's if you don't keep Matt Paradis, you got another big hole to fill. And you got a lot on the offensive line to begin with. So I think, you know, it starts with me, these free agents. Matt Paradis is a guy that you need to find a way to keep.
All right, with Marshall now out of the fold for Denver, where does linebacker rank on the Broncos' list of needs? Stoke and I will tackle that next. Stokely and Zach, Tony D in for Zach. By the way, I'm not Charlie Day from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It seems like every time I'm on this the station, people say that.
Charlie Day.
I sound like Charlie Day. I'm Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'll wear it as a badge if people
don't know Charlie Day. Don't know the Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so I was tagged that a while ago, and I'll carry it if it means I got to carry it. I'll carry it.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
See, I don't know. Like I immediately thought it's a bad thing, but I don't tend to look at things bad in this business, so I just go, all right, whatever.
I mean, I think that's important to find out. You know, is it a compliment or is it an insult?
I gotta think it's not a compliment.
Oh, okay. I've been called worse, I can tell you that.
I think it's meant to be the other way, right?
Yeah, so there we go.
By the way, I saw Trent Dilfer at the Super Bowl, and it was on the day, the anniversary of you guys winning Super Bowl 35, and I said, hey, happy anniversary, winning the Super Bowl. And he goes, oh, is it today? And I go, yeah. He goes, oh, that's cool.
Awesome.
Do you remember the date? Do you have it like circled on your calendar?
No, I don't. I ought to put it in my phone and have it just a reminder every year so I can just wake up with a big smile on my face.
Of course.
But I don't. But usually, you know, they do a good job if you're watching ESPN or NFL networks of, you know, maybe showing a highlight or two on the anniversary of the game. Yeah. So that's always kind of cool. But other than that, no, just kind of like another day. I don't remember. I don't know what date it was. You know, I have a hard time remembering my wedding anniversary every single year. So to remember Super Bowl date, that's not going to happen for me.
Well, I got to be honest. If I won a Super Bowl, I'd be walking around like the camel in the Geico commercial. I'd be like, guess what day it is? My kids would be like, it's
I love that idea. I think I might steal that from you.
You got to steal it.
Break out the Super Bowl ring, maybe put my jersey back on,
right?
And just all day long, just wear that around. I think that's
a
great
idea. My kids would know my stats. They would know, it was third down. You caught the pass in the corner, Dad.
I love that. That's what I'm going to do. It's going to be all about me. That's going to be my special day.
Exactly. All day. So, and it goes all the way through until everybody goes to bed at night.
Of course.
Carry it all the way through.
Absolutely. Yes. All day is about me on that day.
Bring party favors into the house every... Oh, here we go.
I love it.
So, all right. So Jeff Legwall reports that the biggest need right now for the Broncos is a corner to pair along with Chris Harris. You buying this?
Well, it is definitely up there in one of their biggest needs. Certainly offensive line is a huge need for this football team. So I think when you look at importance this year heading into free agency, I would put the offensive line a little bit ahead of the cornerback position. But they're 1-2. You can look at them, you can flip-flop them, and I'm fine with it. You do have Isaac Yiadom that you drafted last year, who I expect to turn out to be a good football player. You still got Chris Harris, but you want to get younger, and that could be the number 10 overall pick also. So we'll see how the draft goes, but certainly cornerback and offensive line are the Broncos' top two priorities in free agency and the draft.
All right, so there's a lot of things that the team does need to build. All right, so let's rank a couple of things here. Let's go inside linebacker. Let's go corner, like Legwalt said. Offensive line, as you said, tight end, defensive tackle. Let's talk about ranking a little bit these in order of importance for where this team's going.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. I mean, if I'm ranking, the most important, the biggest needs for the Broncos, number one is offensive line. We don't even know Matt Paradis' situation.
Yeah,
and so
right.
That's really scary for me. We could use a couple guards. We're going to need a right tackle along the way, and we might even need a center. We need a better Garrett Bowles. I mean, he's going to be on this football team. He's going to be playing offensive line for us. So there's a lot of needs and a lot of question marks on this offensive line. Yesterday the news, Mike Kliss tweeted out that Ron Leary and his contract situation and him having the Achilles injury, I thought he was a foregone conclusion that he was going to be gone. They were going to be releasing him and saving a lot of money on the cap. But with his injury and him having to pass a physical and him not being able to pass a physical, now they're going to be stuck with his contract for this next year. So we'll follow that. But for me, offensive line is number one. Cornerback position is number two. It is a pass-happy league. You've got to get younger there. You've got to get more depth there. And you got to get better in the secondary. So cornerback would be number two. If you look at three, with the news today and Brandon Marshall releasing him and Todd Davis, and then who? Is it Josie Jewell? Who's going to be there? Certainly you could use a huge upgrade at the inside linebacker position. So three for me is inside linebacker. Now four, is it a tight end? Is it a defensive tackle, defensive end, a nose tackle in the 3-4? I'd probably lean more towards that because I'm still curious about Troy Fumagalli. And I'm still holding out hope that Jake Butt can stay healthy. And if he is healthy, he will be a really good football player. So I believe I was on four. Four would be inside, whether it's the defensive end or nose tackle in the 3-4 defense, because D'Amato Pecco is a free agent. I don't know what their plans are for him. Obviously, he's going to be 34 years of old next year. That's old for a nose tackle. So, I believe that Zach Kerr might be a free agent also. So, certainly, you might need to explore adding a defensive tackle, defensive end in the 3-4. So, and then after that, I would say, I guess it would be either safety, because I believe they're going to be moving on from Darian Stewart. So either safety or tight end, I would prefer probably a younger safety to fill the shoes of Darian Stewart when they do decide to move away from him.
All right, so remind me again, where did you put with the Marshall news? Where did you put the linebacker, third?
I believe it was third.
Yeah, okay.
I believe it was third because, right now you look at their depth chart at inside linebacker, and you got Todd Davis, who at this time last year, they were content watching him walk away, and then they were like, whoa, we got nobody else here, and then they had to pay him. So you have him coming back, and then you have your draft pick, Josie Jewell, who, got a chance to play last year. It wasn't anything special. So how do they project him? Do they project him as a backup? Do they project him as a starter? Like, hey, we feel good about this guy. But certainly you need more depth there. Do you need it to be a starter or do you need it to be a backup? I think that's the only question when it comes to the inside linebacker. But they're going to have to address that position, whether it be draft or free agency.
All right, so let's go to the draft because with the 10th pick, which one of these positions gets best suited for what they can do at 10?
Well, I mean, for me, it's – I would love to see Greedy Williams. First of all, I love the name.
Yeah, me too.
And out of LSU. So, you know, he's from Louisiana. You know he's a great athlete. And you can't go wrong picking a cornerback that, you know, will start for you hopefully for the next 8-10 years. Chris Harris didn't get any younger. So certainly you need to get younger there. I mean, in today's NFL, so I would highlight for me, it would be either Greedy Williams, or you can go, you know, inside linebacker, and I think it's Devin White from LSU.
Yep.
Is another name. You know, will he be available? Will he not be available? But those two guys, you got the cornerback Baker from Georgia. I'm fine with him too. I think when you look at those three right there, give me one of them. Give me one of them, and I'm happy, and I think Vic Fangio is happy.
I like that. You said Greedy Williams has a great name, especially for a corner.
Oh, it's like, eat greedy, right? I mean, right? Just intercepted. I mean, greedy again. He's just being greedy today.
It's like if you're a running back and you're called Flash or something,
right?
Like speed. Listen, if you're a corner, greedy is the best way to go with that name.
I mean, absolutely. So I love the name. I love saying the name. And obviously they could use some youth there at the cornerback position. If you got a chance to get one of these really good ones, I mean, now's the time to strike. I think that's the reason why they went after Flacco, because they do like some of these defensive players, and they didn't want to have to take a quarterback. I don't think they love the quarterback class, and on top of it, I think they love some of these defensive guys, and they'd probably be happy with any of those three on their team. And so now it frees them up from having to take a quarterback, which I think they would have had to take a quarterback at 10 or moved up to get a quarterback if they didn't make the Flacco move. So this frees them up to be able to select one of these guys, and I think it will be one of those three if they are available, which I expect one of them to be available. And, you know, we'll be having my guy Daniel Jeremiah on here in about 20 minutes from the NFL Network, who, you know, that's going to be one of my questions I ask him about these young defenders coming out. And so it's going to be interesting to hear his take, because he's as dialed in as anybody in the NFL.
He's got Devin White, right, in his mock draft going
to town? I believe so, which I would be happy with. I think when you look at inside linebacker, I mean, if we could have a playmaking inside linebacker that can go sideline to sideline and be a presence in the middle, I mean, I would love to see that on this defense. Cornerback would be great also. So I think either one of those positions for me, I would be happy with.
It's funny that you mentioned the idea of Flacco, because now that you have a little bit more flexibility of what you want to do with the 10 pick. You don't have to go quarterback if you see somebody else better that meets a need. That's the argument I've been making to people who kind of seen this from the outside and go, oh, Flacco, this is a mistake. What are they doing? And yet it seems to fall on deaf ears when I explain, well, this is a veteran guy that will fill the position. They just go, la, 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 Flacco, I don't care.
You know, I think that's a little bit lazy. I mean, you can't forget
that is Joe, lazy, of course.
You can't forget Joe Flacco put a team on his back and carried him to a Super Bowl and went through my Denver Broncos, the New England Patriots the next week, both games on the road, and then finished it off with a Super Bowl win. So, and I know it was a long time ago. Look, his numbers won't blow you away, but is it an upgrade over Case Keenum? Is it a yes or is it a no? And I believe it is a resounding yes. It's a big upgrade. So, and what'd you give up? A fourth round pick. I mean, so it's a no-brainer. And if you wanted to take a quarterback at 10 still, go ahead and take a quarterback at 10. Whatever. It leaves you a lot of flexibility now heading into the draft that you didn't have before, because you knew that Case Keenum wasn't the answer, that if you had him on your roster for another year, that was going to be it. Now you got Flacco, and if he plays well, you got him on a contract for, I think, 3 more years at reasonable price. If he doesn't, you move on from him. You got no guaranteed money left on the deal. So I think the Broncos provided themselves an upgraded quarterback position, with also giving themselves the flexibility in the draft and in the offseason to move away, not have to take a quarterback this year. So, I mean, I don't know how you look at it and think it's a negative. Now, look, am I expecting Joe Flacco to come in here and be in Peyton Manning 2.0? No, I'm not. I'm not. So that's not my expectation, but I'm expecting to see a better product than what I saw last year playing quarterback.
Stokely and Zach, I'm Tony D filling in for Zach. And so Devin White, Greedy Williams, oh, LSU guys, Louisiana guys.
That's right.
Of course they would work out
well. That's where all the athletes come from.
All of them.
You know that. Everybody knows that.
All of them.
Straight out of the bayou.
That's right. By the way, when did the Louisiana Lafayette go by Louisiana now?
I don't know. I'm not even sure when that happened.
That is a bold statement by that school now to go, no, we're Louisiana.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we are the school of Louisiana. That's right. The Raging Cajuns. I don't know when it happened. You know, we're still working on it, though. It hasn't gained a lot of traction, so we're still working on that. But I appreciate you trying to push that forward.
We are the school of Louisiana. I am trying. I do the best I can. Because you get these things where you see the press releases, please refer to us as Louisiana. Don't refer to us as Louisiana Lafayette anymore.
We are the state school, man.
We are the state school. We don't know what goes on in Baton Rouge down there.
Right. Those Tigers, you know, who cares about them?
So yeah, I love SEC football, so I'm big on LSU, and I've always known it, what talent they got.
I mean, it's nonstop, you know, it really is. The talent that comes out of that state is really unbelievable. So it's, you know, if you got a chance to upgrade, I think, you know, wherever, you know, I joke about being from Louisiana, but if it's the Baker kid or from Georgia, I think you got to look defensively to, you know, John said it, keep a strength of strength. And your defense last year, you made a nice pick with Bradley Chubb. So you got a young guy, edge rusher, Von Miller, you got him. You got Vic Fangio dialing things up. So to add another piece to this defense, I mean, you could see it being a big step forward for them, and all of a sudden you got a great defense again.
And you talk about Flacco, the one thing about him, look, I know we're not getting the Flacco of you know, years ago when he was kind of, listen, there was no team that gave the Patriots more fits, I mean, outside of Manning, yep, you know, than Flacco and the Ravens.
Yep.
I mean, not only did they beat the Patriots a few times in the postseason, but they were a Lee Evans drop in the end zone from beating them like a third time.
Yep.
When they played them.
Yep.
So, and
a field goal away from it,
right,
too. You know,
that
they missed a chip shot. So certainly he's played in big games. The stage ain't too big for him. And he's done it consistently for a long time. He's been the guy. So, you know, we'll take a look at it. I think it was the best option available, like legitimate option available with the lowest risk. I mean, look, if you want to go get Nick Foles, how will he fit in a Rich Scangarello offense where they want that guy under center a lot? What kind of contract will you have to give Nick Foles? How long will you be tied into Nick Foles? And on top of that, what kind of compensation are you going to have to give the Philadelphia Eagles? So there's a lot tied into Nick Foles that you don't have tied into Joe Flacco. And Nick Foles, by the way, the last couple of years, yeah, he's been brilliant towards the end of the season, but has he played 16 games? No, I don't think he has. He's been sprinkled in there, and he's been great. He has, and he surprised me, and he shocked me, and I keep doubting him, and he keeps playing great. So I haven't seen him play for 16 games in a while. So, you know, there's a lot of question marks surrounding Nick Foles for me. And on top of that, you know, Joe Flacco was your best available, lowest risk option, biggest upgrade at the quarterback position.
I want to get back to something about C.J. Mosley, because you like the opportunity of getting C.J. Mosley.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, obviously it comes down to price, right? Like everything else. What is it going to cost you? But certainly I think, you know, if you're not going to be able to get a Devin White inside linebacker in the draft, then you're going to need to upgrade that position. That's one of need for the Broncos.
And an Alabama guy to boot. So we're talking because we stay in the SEC.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you look at the inside linebackers that are available. So if you're looking hard at cornerback, if you're John Elway and you're saying, okay, we like both of these guys, Baker and Greedy Williams, we'll take either one of them, be happy with it. Let's go out in free agency and get ourselves an upgrade at the inside linebacker position. You got Jordan Hicks out of the Eagles. I believe he was banged up this year. He's a really good player. C.J. Mosley, obviously we've talked about him. And a guy that we know really well around here, Denzel Perryman from the L.A. Chargers, who got hurt, right? And sometimes, you know, that could be a blessing for a team like the Broncos and how much you have to pay a guy like that. So he got hurt. I don't think it's a significant injury. So, but certainly that's a guy that I keep my eyes out on, Denzel Perryman, who you might be able to get for cheaper than what you would have, obviously, if he was healthy. But he's a really good football player. Quan Alexander, linebacker from the Buccaneers, good football player also. So you have some options there if you want to go cornerback in the draft and you want to go more of a veteran inside linebacker. Jordan Hicks, Eagles, C.J. Mosley, Ravens, Denzel Perryman, Chargers, and Quan Alexander, the top four guys from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers there. So there will be some guys to be able to upgrade and provide a veteran presence. And I think even if they do, select an inside linebacker, and it is Devin White at 10, I think they still explore bringing in a veteran inside linebacker to add depth.
So can I make the assumption, if or anybody make the assumption, that because of the Flacco move, that 10th pick does not become a quarterback?
Who knows? I would like to assume that also.
Right.
But you just never know. You never know when it comes to the quarterback position what people are thinking. And all of a sudden, if there's one guy that they love and that they didn't think was going to be there, kind of like Bradley Chubb, they had no mock drafts where Bradley Chubb was going to fall to him, and he fell to him, and they, couldn't believe it. It was just unbelievable, right? I mean, if that situation happens again, and one of these quarterbacks that they didn't think they were going to be able to move up to get that they loved falls to him, I guess they could take it. I mean, the likelihood of that happening are slim. I think if they're going to go quarterback, it's going to be, second, third, fourth round, or it wouldn't surprise me if they just bypass on the quarterback altogether and they're all in, with Joe Flacco. That's kind of what they did with Peyton Manning. But even with Peyton Manning, they took Brock Osweiler in the second round that same year. So who knows what John is thinking when it comes to the quarterback position. I think the likelihood of them taking a quarterback at 10 is low, because of the needs all around this football team and some of the players that will be available and the instant impact that they will have. I think John's going to try to build this football team up around the quarterback position and hope to get the best out of Joe Flacco. And so that 10th pick is very valuable. And you can get a player that can step in, yeah, and you could have, as a stalwart of this defense or offense for a long time. And I think that's probably the route that they will take. And I could see them passing on a quarterback altogether in this draft.
Because if you look at picking a quarterback at 10 and saying, okay, well, we'll have Flacco, but then we have the guy that, was going to be the future later down the road, you could do that with Case Keenum. You could leave Case Keenum in his position and throw the guy behind him. You don't have to make the Flacco move.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And I think it gives them the flexibility the Flacco move does to take a guy if he's there. But on top of it, why would you make this move? I think they're all in with Flacco, and they're hoping he's the quarterback here for the next 3-4 years. And certainly it buys them time, especially in this draft. And so to take a quarterback at 10, I mean, I would be a little confused, I would say, if they went that route, because of the needs everywhere else.
We just listed a whole bunch of them.
Exactly. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
So I don't think John will do that. I think John's going to look at this defense, and he's said it a lot of times, keep a strength of strength, and he wants to get this defense back playing at a high level, and I think he has trust and faith in Vic Fangio, which I do also. Give him some players, right? And this defense could be back to, not Super Bowl defense, but back playing at a high level. I mean, you got young Bradley Chubb. You got Von Miller still, doing his thing. So you got some nice pieces. You had a couple another young pieces in there, and all of a sudden this defense is back being a great defense again.
And what a conversation in 2018 season we had with, everybody's going offense. Everybody's throwing up numbers. It's 50 points a game now. It's like arena football, and it comes right back to defense again.
It does. I mean, you saw it. Things slow down. The weather gets colder, and it just for whatever reason, there's when you get in the playoffs, things are usually a little bit different. And, as much as we thought that the NFL was totally changing and it was offense, 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 you saw in the playoffs that there's still a place for defense. There's still a place for running the football and playing good complementary football. And you saw that from the New England Patriots. There's different ways to win football games. And so there's still a place for really good defense in this league. And certainly having a coach like Vic Fangio, you want to give him some assets and some players to be able to incorporate in his defense and play great defense again.
Yeah, because when you talk about a place where Legwold talked about corner, whether it's now linebacker position, and you can fill those with free agency guys that you can bring in, but also now this flexibility in the draft, the list we just gave, this becomes a good talking point. This becomes a good conversation piece rather than, the Broncos need a quarterback, so that's where it's going.
Absolutely. And you know what? We haven't even hit on. I mean, you could see them trade back.
Sure.
You can see them trade back and get more assets. That's also a real possibility. John's done that before. So It's really interesting their spot that they're in. And now that they got Flacco, it frees them up. It really does. They can move back very easily, get more assets, get more draft picks. They could stay there, get an instant impact player. And it tells me that John doesn't love the quarterback class and, you know, probably doesn't trust his ability to draft the guy and understands the ramifications if you get it wrong in the first round. And Flacco provides you that flexibility to go elsewhere in this draft. And also you can move back and get more assets and get more picks. So for me, it's going to be interesting. And I think it's going to be an instant impact player at 10, you know, whether it be cornerback or whether it be inside linebacker that can help this defense out.
All right, so where does NFL Network's Daniel Jeremiah stand with Flacco? Has he got reaction mixed nationally? We'll hear about that next.